Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. This is Casey Luskin, broadcasting the Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. I'm here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We recently had testimony on the Louisiana Academic Freedom Bill. And right now I'm interviewing Dr. Carolyn Crocker, a PhD biologist who came and testified here at the Louisiana Legislature about the Academic Freedom Bill. Dr. Crocker, thank you for being on our show with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, if you could briefly explain, why did you come out to Louisiana in order to testify about this Academic Freedom Bill?
I think it's very important that teachers are allowed to teach all of the science accurately, not just present the one-sided science that is presented in textbooks.
And we know that you, having been in the movie Expelled, many of our listeners have probably seen that movie, and they would know that you obviously have experienced some of the hostility in academia towards people who would express skepticism of evolution. Could you maybe give us a brief elaboration on your personal experience with that kind of hostility that teachers experience?
I did experience that hostility. In fact, I taught a lecture on evolution, the evidence given in the textbook for it, and also problems with that evidence. I did that completely impartially. Many students wrote letters saying they had no idea what I believed at the end. But nonetheless, my supervisor accused me of teaching creationism. That was not true. But he immediately removed me from lecturing, even though that was against the rules expressly stated in the faculty handbook. He then put me on to teaching labs only, and at the end of the semester, my job was over. I did file a grievance, but it was to no avail, even though I did have deans from George Mason standing up in my favor.
So that's right. This all took place at George Mason University a few years ago when you were a professor there teaching biology, or what exactly were the courses you were teaching?
I was teaching cell biology, which is the first required course for biology majors at that university.
And I've seen some of the letters from the university. One of them said that you had, I believe, unusually high student rankings or something to that effect. Is that true?
Yes, it is. And actually, I received a couple of those letters from the provost saying that I had unusually high student rankings. I was very careful as a teacher to make sure that my students understood and did as well as possible in the course. I was disturbed by the trend to do a lot of curving when students didn't do well. I wanted to instead raise the students' understanding instead of curving the exams. So I went and got a grant from the Center for Teaching Excellence in order to improve student learning in large classroom situations, and implemented a lot of new techniques to help students learn, even doing a play with student participation illustrating protein synthesis.
And you even did some writing of educational materials while you were there, is that correct?
I did. I wrote a cell biology workbook, which was all the PowerPoint slides, but also questions about the PowerPoint slides, worksheets, quizzes before each lecture, and exam preparation sheets.
So it's clear that you were not demoted and removed from teaching biology because there was any problem with your actual teaching performance. It sounds like even, you know, unusually high student rankings, you don't usually get rid of teachers that are fit in that category. And given also what, as you explained, this situation where you were hauled in before one of your administrators, and I believe you were told that you had to be disciplined. Is that right?
That's right. I was told I had to be disciplined. And in fact, I found it hard to believe that he would have banned me from lecturing for what I considered to be such a strange reason when I was so impartial in the way I taught the evidence. But I did ask his administrator, and I also asked another faculty member if that was the only thing he had against me, and they both confirmed that yes, it was only my views on evolution that had caused him to take this action.
Wow, that's quite incredible. And I know that there's been a lot of misinformation about your story out there on the internet. People trying to claim that you were not you did not lose your job at George Mason due to this issue, but, you know, hearing the facts from you, knowing how high a performance rankings you had prior to this incident, and then hearing what took place behind the scenes in terms of what was said to you when you were hauled in before your administrator after criticizing evolution in the classroom, I think there's really no question about, you know, the fact that you were persecuted because of your views on Darwinism. So maybe just very briefly, you could tell us a little bit about your educational background, your qualifications as a scientist.
I was actually mostly educated in England, but I did start out in Iowa. I went to Des Moines Area Community College, but I started there when I was 16 years old. When I was 18 years old, I did get my associate degree in pre-medicine. After that, I went to England and did a bachelor's degree in microbiology and virology from the University of Warwick. I then did a master's degree from the University of Birmingham in medical microbiology, investigating the possibility of preventing catheters from becoming infected by bacteria in a new and novel way. I then went on and did my doctorate at Southampton University in immunopharmacology.
And let me guess, your research did not require neo-Darwinian theory in order to make the inquiries and the investigations that you were making?
No, there was no need for anything like that. It was just, what do the cells do in response to this particular pharmaceutical agent? What are the mechanisms whereby they do it? It had nothing to do with Darwinism.
So I'm going to throw out a quote here, and I just want to do sort of like random associations. What is your response to this quote? If I were to say, nothing in biology makes sense except in the light of evolution, what is your response to that?
That's ludicrous. You can leave evolution out and biology still makes sense, in as much as anything in science makes sense when you know so little about it. We're so much at the frontiers of learning right now.
Now, of course, some biologists disagree with you, and they think that evolution is required to really learn anything about biology. Do they deserve the academic freedom to hold their views?
Yes, they do. And they're free to say what they like and to produce evidence for it, but I don't think they're free to not allow others to question what they're saying.
We've become so used in this issue to hearing people say things like, there is no controversy about evolution, that we've kind of become immune to the affront to academic freedom that that statement represents. What do you feel when you hear scientists say, like they did yesterday at the testimony before the Louisiana State Legislature, that there is no controversy among professional biologists about evolution?
I think that's incredible psychological pressure on those scientists who do question evolution, because if they say they question, then the next logical thing is, oh, well, you must not be a scientist, which is, of course, silly. But it is true that many scientists feel a lot of pressure to sign on the dotted line and to say that they believe in evolution just so that they keep their jobs or so that they're respected academically.
Wow. Well, you certainly experienced that pressure and you've seen it personally. I'd like to just close this out. If you could just give us a brief summary of some of your scientific views about the problems with evolution.
I think my main problem with evolution is that it does not explain the origin or the increase of information that we see. There is so much information contained within the genome. In a human cell alone, there's 900 encyclopedias equivalent of information. Darwinian evolution, the mechanism, does not give any reason for that to be there.
Well, Dr. Crocker, I think my flight is boarding, so we should probably end this podcast. But it's very wonderful to be able to speak with you. I'm going back to Seattle. You're going back to Virginia. And I appreciate your time and your efforts supporting this bill and your efforts and standing up for academic freedom on this issue.
Nice to talk to you and have a good flight.
Thank you so much. This is Casey Luskin with the ID of the Future podcast, signing off.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.